Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Kebabs have got a bad rap in recent years as kind of junk food for after the pub, but there's a lot more to them than that, and they're having a bit of a revival. So I'm joined now by spice expert and founder of Green Saffron, Aaron Cappell. Good afternoon, Aaron.
Hey, Brendan, how are you doing?
And you're going to talk us through the kebabinaissance. So kebabs are kind of cool again. And like, in fairness, they are amazing. It's like, describe the worst kebab you ever had. Fantastic. What is the magic of them?
Well, no, I totally agree. You're right. Any type of kebab can be brilliant. But I think, in essence, it comes down to three things. It's the meat, it's the fire, and it's the marinade, the sort of flavourings. And I think the part of the appeal is the fact that they are just so simple and so sort of like carnal almost, you know? It's like meat and fire. It's two of the most beautiful things, yes, and most accessible things there is, really.
And in terms of their origins, they kind of occur across a lot of different cultures and cuisines, don't they?
No, they do. You're bang on. I mean, every single, certainly every continent and virtually every single country can have its own different style. And again, that sort of reflects the sort of cuisine of the region, you know. So, yeah, you're right. There's a kebab virtually for every country you could think of. Yeah.
Okay. So the ones we'd be used to, where do they probably come from originally?
I'd say we're more sort of used to the sort of Turkish kind of ones, which can either be the sort of more shish type, the sort of beautiful sort of chunks of meat that have been marinated in really hard fire, or indeed the sort of the doner kebab as we know it, which is kind of like minced up meat that's then grilled. But yeah, I'd say the Turkish are probably the most well known. But you see, you've also got the different variations, like for example, going over to Greece, and therefore you've got the more sort of Slovakia type ones, which tend to be more herby, so oregano, beautiful sort of fresh lemony, and relying more on the sort of beautiful meats rather than necessarily overly spicy.
Okay, so people might have dug out the barbecue now this weekend. Are kebabs easy to make at home?
Oh, dead simple. No, dead simple. No, but they are. I mean, for one example, obviously I'm sort of part Indian, so I always consider like an Indian sort of style of kebab. And one that I do regularly is a Lucknowi kebab. Lucknow is really well known in northern India, northwest India, for its kebabs. And really, there's a real simple cheat to get your kebab right every single time.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, they'll be using like two marinades. First of all, let's say pineapple juice or papaya with white pepper. That would be for 15 minutes or so. But if you get chicken thighs, boneless and skinless chicken thighs, and sprinkle a couple of teaspoons of bicarbonate of soda over them and just leave them sit whilst you make up a marinade of, you know, yogurt and beautiful spices, be it saffron, green cardamom, garam masala, bit of fresh ginger, bit of fresh garlic, etc. Once you've made your marinade, wash off the bicarbonate of soda off the chicken, pat it really dry, and then pop the chicken thighs in the marinade for about 20 minutes or so, and then skewer them onto the skewer, and then really hot heat so that you're charring the yogurt, so you get beautiful, soft and succulent chicken with a gorgeous sort of charred yogurt, which is flavoured, as I say, with beautiful spices, green cardamom, garam masala. It's such a simple and beautiful chicken.
So the bicarbonate of soda, what, it tenderises the meat, is it?
Exactly that. That's exactly what it does. I'm so shocking because you'll be saying, oh, bicarbonate of soda. But
yeah,
like I say, back in the old days, it was papaya or pineapple. But bicarbonate of soda works just so well. In fact, I was cooking at a friend's place in February back in Delhi, and all these old sort of brigadiers and everything were there, and they were eating my kebabs, and they just couldn't believe that this little guy from Ireland turned up and cooked their own cuisine. But anyway, no,
you sound like you've a much more interesting life than I do. So meat wise then, chicken thighs, if it's chicken you're going with thighs, what are the other cuts of meat we can use?
Yeah.
Like, are we using good meat, or are we using, can we use cheap meat?
This is a great thing, Brendan. It can be any sort of cut. It depends how you treat it. So I always say chicken thighs when it comes to chicken because it has more sort of a bit more fat to it and a bit more integrity of shape once it's been cooked, sort of thing, texture. Now, when you're looking for red meat, anything like a fatty cut, so more like your shoulders, your neck. It can be leg if you want to be really sort of, but leg of lamb is quite expensive. But even if you get the neck chops and just even chop those up and marinate and skewer those up. So it's any kind of cut of meat, but I would always go for the ones that are a bit fattier. And again, with your beef, it can be your chuck, it can be, those sort of minute steak kind of cuts is what you're looking for, rather than something you don't want. The briskets are the ones that are going to take 3 or 4 hours to roast, clearly. Yeah.
Okay, and sauces and salads then, you want kind of gutsy flavours there as well, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, it depends which region you're in. I suppose if you're going over to Greece, as we mentioned, I mean, one of the classic things is obviously the garlic sort of sauce, which we all love. And very simple way to do that is just get some, you know, mayonnaise, any sort of shop-bought mayonnaise, let it down with a little bit of water, lots of lemon juice, and chop a sort of couple of cloves of garlic with some salt on your chopping board. Get that in there as well, and maybe chop through some parsley. Beautiful sort of garlic sauce, or any chili sauce, but a garlic sauce I love on these kind of dishes. Yeah.
Okay. And salad wise?
Salad wise, you see, I would always know. See, you can get very posh and you can start charring things like radicchio, these sort of bitter Italian leaves, which work really, really well.
Okay.
But what, even if you just chop up sort of one really cool thing right now, I think, is just to sort of literally splat a cucumber and pour hot oil on it. And it gets beautiful sort of crackling and lots of gorgeous flavors. And then throw in some sesame seeds and maybe some nigella seeds as well, and a squeeze of lemon. Delicious.
Okay, so we'll put up the Lucknowi chicken kebab recipe. You've also given us probably more the kind of kebab that people think of, a Palestinian lamb kebab with sumac.
Yeah, you see, I thought Palestinian obviously kind of is a culture that we need to be shouting about a bit at the moment, I think. And in Palestine, and I was really fortunate to meet someone actually in the Food on the Edge last year when I was doing a talk with in Galway there, Fadi Katan, who has an amazing couple of restaurants called Akub. Anyway, so Fadi is a real sort of advocate of Palestinian food, and he whacks his lyric. It's just a joy listening to him. But no, essentially what he says about the kebabs over there is they tend to be more sort of zingy and zesty. And so I don't know if you've had sumac pepper. It's kind of like really fruity sort of citrus kind of thing. And they tend to use more citrus notes, apparently, in Palestine with their meats. So again, it's about shining a light on the meat and enhancing it with citrus is more of a thing
over
there.
A bit more zing there, Palestine. So you put up the Palestinian lamb kebabs with sumac as well. What are the vegetarian options here?
You see, there's so many things you can do vegetarian-wise, but one I think is quite cool, which is really quite simple to do. If you like a falafel, if you just simply made falafels, which are very easy to make, just blitz up some chickpeas, you drain your chickpeas and blitz it up, put those in your food presses with a teaspoon of flour, a tablespoon of flour, ground flour and lemon and cumin and coriander, blitz it all up and maybe some cucumber or some tomato if you're going to put that through it. And then you let that rest for sort of 20 minutes, then just form it into little balls and then you just fry those, or indeed, rather than frying, take them out to your barbecue and grill them on the barbecue, skewer them with tomatoes and a bit of red onion or something. And if you make it really beautiful, if you shred a cucumber into yogurt, again with some maybe toasted cumin seeds or something and some lemon and garlic, a beautiful dressing and really simple dressing for falafels.
Okay, listen, you can't go wrong, really. They're all winners, aren't they? And kind of easy enough to throw together as well once you have the right stuff. So listen, you've given us a Greek souvlaki as well that we'll put up on the website. And you've also given us a kebab in a tin that might work for some people. Aaron Cappell, thank you very much as always.
Thank you, Brendan. Thanks so much.
And that's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.